I'm Melissa Idris, and you're watching The Future is Female. This is the show where we find the extraordinary in every woman. Now, in the first 4 months of the year, this year alone, there were more than 2,000 cases of child abuse. And of that total, about 30% of that number comprised of physical and sexual abuse. Now, according to UNICEF, it turns out that younger children are more likely to be abused by a family member or a caregiver. Now, how can we equip our children with the education and the empowerment to talk about body safety, about consent and personal boundaries? The parenting platform Mark Sheek has published a children's book titled What If? And they're publishing this book in hopes of getting greater awareness about child sexual abuse prevention in Malaysia. Mark Sheek's managing editor Kimberly Lee and CEO Najmin Tajuddin joined us on the show today to share the story behind this book. Kimberly and Najmin, thank you so much for being on the show. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having us.
Congratulations, so guys, on this book. I mean, what a feat to have this published. I mean, Najmin, we collaborated, I think it was in March for International Women's Day. Yes, we had a webinar on how to raise feminists, essentially. And that was when I learned that Machi was putting together this book, this children's book, to talk about body autonomy and boundaries and consent, all these really important topics that we may struggle to bring up or talk to our children about. And I wanted to talk to you about this book. I was so happy to be able to pick up a physical copy of this book. I'm so proud for you guys. Let's talk about the story. I mean, maybe you can start, Najmin, by telling us a little bit about the physical, about how this book came about. I mean, what was the impetus that triggered the move to put together this book?
Well, this is a topic that has always been important to us at Machi. We have this session that we regularly conduct over Instagram with our followers. And what we do during these sessions is that we would regularly invite them to share their experiences on certain topic, right? And in 2019, we did that on sexual harassment. And it was very... The platform is unique because our followers could share their experiences anonymously. And what we discovered during the session was that it's very, very common. And for a lot of our followers, it happened when they were very young. And this was happening to them at the hands of a family member, a teacher, or a caregiver. You know, these are people that children usually could trust, right? And we came out from that session thinking that we want to do something about that. So we collaborated with a local comprehensive sexual education provider called Spot Community Project. Now, what they do is they would usually go to schools and they would discuss topics of sex and purity with school kids. But what we discovered is that they are having this conversation in school, but they are not having this at home. So yeah, with Spot, we decided that, hey, we have a parenting platform, you know, how about, you know, doing this workshop on sex education for mothers and daughters. So that was the first time Spot actually did it, and the first time we actually did it as well.
Wow, that is actually quite interesting to realize that perhaps children are more comfortable talking about it with their peers, where they may not even get the right kind of information. But at home, you're not able to have that conversation with parents and family members, mothers and fathers. That's quite interesting, which is why I think the way you approached this book was really important. In the book, as you're reading it, there are all these different scenarios. I love that there are, you know, some of the scenarios completely innocuous, almost everyday occurrences, and then there are some that are more serious. But all of them, I think, you're able to use to initiate a discussion or a conversation about recognizing, you know, anything from suspicious behavior or you know, the feeling unsafe or the right to say no. Kimberly, you wrote this book. You're the author behind the words in this book. And I wanted to ask you how you came up with that, with the using scenarios, you know, to allow children to understand different ways to respond.
So this book is very unique, and what you've said prior to this is that you really appreciated the different sort of scenarios or situations where you can take a child through. And I'm so glad to hear that, because that was exactly what we had in mind. So this book is based off a sort of a role play or scenario game. It's a what if mechanism, really, that we learned about during the course of our training and workshops and research for this particular book. And how that works, it's more like a call and response sort of situation. So you pose the question, and then the child then responds with what they would do in that kind of situation. And so we felt it was such a good way that we could kind of bring out these really important issues in a way that was accessible and age appropriate with the kids. And so, like you said, we cover a host of different scenarios, and we intentionally set it up that we started off slightly fun and fantastical, and then it delves into issues that were a little bit more serious and based and or rooted in real life, so that children could go on that journey and understand the different body safety rules that were sprinkled across the different scenarios.
Okay, I do want to kind of get into the key messages, but I have to say my favorite scenario was Auntie Rose, when you talked, this is a particularly local context, talking about, you know, what if Auntie Rose wants to give you a kiss, right, or a hug, and you don't really feel like doing that, can you tell her no? And I love that, because, you know, in Asian families, you respect your elders, and it's really difficult to know what how to have those kinds of personal boundaries. That's really interesting. Can you tell us a little bit about the key skills that the book aims to address?
Sure. I think you hit the nail right on the head. Our book is all it's very intentionally based on what we've experienced specifically in Asian culture. I mean, we know with Asian families, there's just no boundaries sometimes. Every one of us have had like a family member, usually an auntie, like a particularly affectionate auntie. I mean, I definitely have that.
They mean well. They mean well, but
they mean very well. They usually give so much love, but it's also, you know, understanding that the things that may have made you feel uncomfortable as a child, and I remember moments before when you didn't really feel like being hugged or being kissed in a certain way, you just didn't feel like it that day. Not being empowered at that time with the knowledge that you actually do have the right to say, no, thank you. Is it okay if I offer an alternative greeting instead? I mean, that the power of that knowledge is so important. And I think we wanted children of this generation to understand that they have rights and they have a voice that they can use to gently but firmly push back and say no if they're not comfortable. So the key skills that, as you mentioned, that we raised in the book, we have tried as far as possible to cover or at least give an introduction on core body safety rules. So we touch on issues like safe and unsafe touches, how you know when something makes you feel uncomfortable, the importance of understanding emotions, how that allows you to trust your instincts, the right of children. We also then talk about, you know, what's the difference between secrets and surprises. And importantly, I think for us, we absolutely wanted to get the message across of the importance of consent and respect. And so something that we covered and we're quite proud of is hopefully, you know, disseminating a message that you have a right to say no to something. And, you know, also, the person who's listening to you say no then has to respect or understand that, right? Not force their way or push back against that.
I have to say, though, you know, I don't have children myself, but I love children. I'm always around them. And I previously, you know, you would always have parents go, you know, salam auntie or give auntie a hug. And now I'm a lot more conscious, you know, this was even before the pandemic, a lot more conscious about saying, may I give you a hug, or, you know, may I give you a fist bump or something? So you're asking children for their consent and you're respecting their personal boundaries. Which is why this book really is resonates so much with me. And I'm just wondering, Najmi, maybe you can tell us how that journey went, because, you know, when we were talking about it in March, the book was already in the works. But again, the pandemic, of course, derails all sorts of plans. Maybe you can tell us about whether that had disrupted some of your best efforts to get this book out.
Well, the work in the team mostly falls on Kim and Liana as the authors, and Delia. And I think that throughout the process, they've never met. They've never met physically, right?
Delia being the illustrator of the book. Okay.
Yes. Illustrator.
Yeah, the whole process has been done online, you know, and that requires finding the right timing for everybody. And it's just hours and hours of going through everything, you know,
so
every part of it.
A virtual collaboration.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Oh, wow. Okay. So even working from home.
Even for the team. Yes. Exactly, yeah. That. I think that's the toughest part as well, because we are all mums in the team. Delia is not, but for most of us. And so we were just trying to find the right time. So Kim works very late at night or very early in the morning, you know, and just trying to get this all in on time, because we have a deadline that we want to hit. And I think that's the struggle, really, just the process of balancing the working on the book and the home life as well as a parent. Yeah. But I think Kim bears the brunt of it along with Liana for the team.
I think it was also just, you know, it was adjusting to pandemic life when this book came out, right? And so suddenly we're just thrust into the roles of becoming online school teachers and, you know, managing work and house and balancing that. And so when this book of ours came out, we were so conscious about, I think, producing something that we felt we'd be proud of, something that was bigger than, I think, the little discomforts that we were feeling. And so I think that really spurred us on. And emotionally as well, because this is an issue that is so important to us, and because specifically during the pandemic there were so many reports of things happening, there are so many cases of domestic abuse, child sexual abuse, the calls for help were increasing, and so that lagila made us go, my gosh, we have to get this out, and it has to be something that is good and that can reach out to as many communities and children within Malaysia as possible.
Do you know if there are works like this, but in a Malaysian context, guys? I mean, are there other types of books like this out there? Is there a lot of children's literature that addresses topics like this?
This is an area that isn't as well tapped in, but positively, I would love to see so many more books in the same space coming out. What we do know is that organizations such as PS the Children, WCC Penang, they've come up with books as well, and that's incredibly important because of the important work that they're doing. And then we hope that this book does join that space and also joins that same space of other important books on consent and body boundaries that are already out there in the world. But importantly, we hope that our local children see themselves being reflected in this story.
Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break, but let's come back and talk a little bit more about this. Stay tuned to The Future's Female Book, folks. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Future's Female. I'm speaking to the good folks from Makcik, which is a parenting portal. Najmi Tajuddin is the CEO of Makcik, and Kimberly Lee, the managing editor. She's also the author of Makcik's first children's book on consent, personal safety, and body boundaries. It's titled What If? I think you can see it there. We're talking about the book, and I just want to come to Kimberly, because one of the things that I really liked about this book was that it helps parents who are reading this to their children navigate some of the tougher conversations. There are kind of conversation prompts under each scenario story. And then at the back, in the last few pages, there's this really interesting discussion guide on body safety. And I wanted to ask you what that feedback has been from the parents that have read this book to their children. Have they used that discussion guide on body safety? And how did you come up with that to kind of equip parents who may be nervous to talk about these really difficult topics with their children?
So when we were preparing for this book or discussing the ideas with this book, so my co-author and I, Liana Ta, we were discussing how best to expand the conversation at home. It wasn't enough, I think, certainly isn't enough with topics like these to just, you know, put a story or a text without then giving additional context to that. And so the conversation prompt boxes and the discussion guide were very intentionally put in to enable parents to expand further. So just think about it like a several course meal, right? So you've got your like appetizer, which is the story, and then you're really going to the meat of it, the main course with the discussion guide and the conversation prompts. And then, you know, as a taster, as a dessert, you have a QR code actually in our book that you can scan. And then it takes you to an expanded version of our website where you have additional resources, downloadable materials, and to kind of move the conversation further. But yeah, like we said, we wanted it to be something that really encourages open conversation, continuing conversation for kids and parents at home.
Wow, that sounds like a lot of work. It's not just the pages in this book, it's not just bound by the cover, but it's also digital and online and interactive and all these different other expanded universe of what if. Can we, Najmi, I wanted to ask you, because this feels like such a resource for parents, right? How does the book kind of fit into the wider ethos of Makcik? I mean, Makcik and the issues it champions. If I may, for the audience, just quote what's on your website. It says, Makcik is an online parenting platform run by mothers in the trenches. We believe in the rich and diverse stories of parenthood that inform, support, and uplift all families in their quest to parent well, learn well, and live well. Isn't that amazing? So tell us how this fits into that wider ethos.
Well, Makcik believes in uplifting and supporting parents, right? And I love that that ethos that we have, which is that we want to support them to parent well, learn well, and live well. And we do that by creating this culture that is rooted in just compassion and care and honesty and authenticity. And the book provides that for parents, because parents want to have these conversations. Parents want to teach their children how to protect themselves. And we believe that the tools that are provided in the book helps that. Definitely fits within the Makcik's ethos for sure. Yeah. And Kim, if you have anything to add to that?
I think for us, it's always been reflecting stories that were diverse and unique and mattered to Malaysian parents, Malaysian families. We have an incredible privilege, I think, with our platform for being a source that hopefully parents feel that they can trust and turn to. Yes. And for us, I think we're all women who were fiery, and things that impact our children in Malaysia really impact us. The causes that we believe in and the causes that we hope to advocate and promote. So this has always been something that deeply affects us. And to be able to be a voice and to make a change, however small, in this area, it definitely is something that resonates with us in the core of who we are.
So how did you come to join the Makcik team? Najmina, if I'm not mistaken, you're a biologist by training, right? So you were working with you know, agriculture programs, and if I'm not mistaken, you were working with horses at some point with an equine center. How did you decide to leave that part behind and say, I want to focus on helping parents be better parents, or at least sharing the stories so that we can all kind of have a collective brain of parenting in Malaysia?
I was brought in exactly because of that, because there were some issues in parenting that are a bit more scientifically bent. So I was writing about vaccination, and that's one of the things that we really believe in, as well as our ethos, that we believe in truth and we believe in science. And that's where I come in with my love for research and learning about things that I wouldn't normally explore without Makcik. But as Kim mentioned, I think over the years, what I really love most about Makcik is the fact that our platform allows me to actually lend my voice and support to causes that really matter to us. We love working with women's organizations locally on issues like ending child marriage.
Yes,
my big number one, which fits in with this as well, like, you know, ending child marriage and domestic violence and sexual harassment. These are the key areas that I feel very strongly about. And we've been working on that with our platform, and I'm very, very proud of the work that we've done on Makcik on those topics.
Yeah, and particularly, I mean, in the time of a pandemic, what better way than to focus on the science and data and truth, right? Wonderful. And Kim, Kimberly, I know you're a lawyer turned author. You have another book, right? You have Boys Don't Fry, which is about a little boy who wants to learn Nyonya cooking. When I was taking so how did you go from a lawyer to now an author and also working with this community of parents at Makcik?
Okay, so for me, yes, I was in practice for quite a few years, a long time, what happened was that motherhood hit me. And I think I wanted to take a sabbatical from litigation practice because it's hectic. And then I somehow just kind of found my way into pursuing what is and has always been my first love, which is writing. I started doing freelance work, and then that led me to Makcik. And I think I found you guys through a contest.
Yes.
It was a Mother's Day contest that I entered. And then they were like, oh, your entry is very good luck. Can you write for us? And then from there, it just became more of a, I love this team, such inspiring, strong, smart, wonderful women. And it was very easy. So when they said, you know, would you like to write for us? Would you like to, you know, take part in this really important project, which is the children's book, you know, with Makcik? And that has gone on to open up other doors, and me realizing that actually I love doing this, and hence why I'm writing these other books now. And so Boys Don't Cry is coming out in the US.
Oh, wonderful. Congratulations. You know how they say it takes a village to raise a child? Sometimes in this day and age, you know, you don't have a village of support anymore, particularly as a parent, you feel sometimes that you're doing it on your own. And I'm just wondering, with the Makcik community, how has that kind of helped you guys personally as parents, you know, just to grow in your own personal journey? Najmin?
Well, I think there is a real danger when you're in a bubble, that you think that your way of parenting is the right kind of parenting. And with Makcik, I think because we've always been exposed to such diverse stories, right, of and journey of parenthood. So that has helped me a little bit in terms of adjusting my perspective. And parenting can be very lonely and can be very hard. And sometimes you feel that you are facing the challenges on your own, that no one else is going through the things that you're going through. And what I love about the community that we have over our social media platform is that we have built this community where people love to share yeah, stories. And when people share, all the other moms and everyone else in the community would come in and support and actually gives really useful advice, which I have found very useful throughout. I think one of my favorite is actually on travel, which is something that I really want to look forward to in the future, you know.
We all do.
So, you know, it can be as fun as travel and also can be quite reassuring, because we touch on how the pandemic has affected our children's development and about not going to school and things like that. And my fears and my concerns were shared by so many parents. So you do feel less alone in your
That's
journey.
That's good, because you do need that support, particularly to, you know, now when we're so isolated. Kimberly, what about your parenting journey? Has the Machik community helped?
I definitely think so, because exactly as what Najmin said, there are so many stories that are relatable. You know, it can feel very isolating sometimes to be a parent, especially you know, when you're a new mom. Life changes so much. But understanding that so many women and men have walked that journey before you, you know, a bit battle scarred, but you know, survived it with, you know, words of wisdom to pass on. That's something that really, really does help. And just also then being able to share your own personal experiences and hopefully impact and influence other parents. That's priceless.
Well, it sounds like you guys have got a good thing going, and I want to thank you so much for the work that you know, put into this book and putting this book out there, and for the good work that you do at Machik. Thank you so much for being on the show with me today. What a pleasure it's been to chat to you guys today. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Melissa.
Thank you, Melissa.
That's all we have for you on this episode of The Future is Female. I will be back with you same time next week for another episode. Till then, goodbye. Good night. See you.